Hi, my name's Mick Hayward. I'm part of the shallow reef team, and apologise for the change in order of the agenda. We decided that Damien's presentation was probably going to be good at piecing aspects of all three previous presentations together, so that he'll be on last. So this afternoon I'm going to be giving you a bit of an update on the work we've been doing on the shallow reef fish communities, in particular talking about some of the environmental drivers that help shape those communities. So just a quick summary of the methods. For the past 2 years we've been surveying reef fish communities at three major areas, in the north of Jurabi, at Mangrove and down here in Osprey. We've got a total of 72 sites that cover both inside and outside the sanctuary areas designated here in green, and they also cover most of the major shallow water marine habitats, ranging from the reef slope across the reef flat and into the lagoon and bommy areas. The technique we use is underwater visual census, whereby we have a diver into the water and they identify, count and estimate the length of a whole variety of different fish species. And at each site we have two transects, a short 25 by 5 metre transect, which is focused on looking at the smaller site-attached fish, such as ketodonts and pomacentrids, and a longer 100 metre by 10 metre transect, which focuses on more mobile, larger fish, many of which are the target of fishers. So to summarise some of the biomass results, in 2015 we saw just under 24,000 fish. In 2016 we counted just over 22,000. In terms of biomass, this plot here shows you the total biomass in each area over the long transects and the short transects over the 2 years, and you can see consistently biomass has been highest at Mangrove and lowest at Jurabi. A big peak in biomass in 2016 at Mangrove and the short transects was due to a large number of acanthurids, or large schools of acanthurids. In terms of species richness, in total we've identified 268 species from 45 different families. Once again, the plot down here just is looking at the species richness, or average species richness per transect over the short and long transects. And you can see that generally they range from somewhere around 10 up to just under 20 per transect. And the other point here is that there's not a dramatic difference in the species richness on the short and, or between the short and the long transects. In terms of relating this to habitat, initially we had a look at modelling habitat in terms of modelling species richness in terms of a bunch of habitat variables. And these ones in particular are just focusing on the long transects. The habitat variables we had available to us were, well, management status, which wasn't habitat, but we thought that was important to include. Percentage cover of major substrate types, such as sand, rubble, pavement, etc. Cover of algae, hard and soft coral, dead coral, urchin density, modelled bottom, orca bottom velocity, rugosity of the surface or the seabed, and depth. Depth was highly correlated with orbital bottom velocity, so that was discarded from the model. The final model selected using AIC involved cover of soft coral, management status, and we had smooth terms for rugosity, bottom velocity, and hard coral. And interestingly, if you look at these plots over on the right hand side, you can see that for each of these smooth terms, it seems to be a bit of a sweet spot in terms of species richness, which then tapers off at higher levels of the covariate. In terms of the composition of the fish communities, this just shows this is a slide I showed last year, which was just the 2015 results based on Bray Curtis dissimilarities of biomass. Each one of these dots represents a single site, and the sites that are closest to each other are more closely similar in terms of their species composition. And they're colour-coded in terms of reef habitat. And you can see that the similar habitats, or the same habitats, tend to be close together, which is hardly surprising, I guess. If we add in the 2016 results, you can see the pattern's quite consistent. And although it's highly statistically significant, the relationship is not all that strong with an R-squared of 0.15. If we then look at, this is a SIMPA, or similarity percentages analysis, and we look at the species that are responsible for separating those groups based on habitat, they're amongst the habitats that we classified that particular, or those reefs at, in, there are 10 possible contrasts. So think, in this case, I'm showing one example of that. This is the contrast between reef slope and reef flat. And these species here are the ones that were 10 top ones that were most responsible in terms of contrasting these two habitats. And the numbers here represent the average biomass in each of the habitats. And one interesting point here is that you'll notice that these 10 top species that are responsible for separating out the reef slope from the reef flat communities are that they're all scarids and acanthurids. So looking now at the correlation between the environmental covariates and the fish communities based on biomass, using the NFIT routine, the vegan package in R, you can see that quite a few of them are statistically significant, and the ones that have the highest R squareds are predicted orbital bottom velocity, cover of sand, hard coral, soft coral, and algae. If we then superimpose those on top of the MDS plot, or the ordination, these vectors, the direction of the vector indicates the area in which is most strongly correlated with the patterns in the fish communities, and the length of the vector is proportional to the strength of the correlation. And you can see out here in the reef slope, we tend to have higher covers of soft, hard coral and consolidated rubble, and higher levels of the median orbital bottom velocity. Whereas over here in the lagoon and the inshore areas, there's a higher cover of sand and algae, and rugosity, or the index of rugosity, tends to be higher, which basically means it's flatter. Showing those correlations as vectors isn't always appropriate. It may be in cases where the relationship tends to be linear, and these are basically surface plots, in this case hard coral cover, and you can see that these isobars are parallel, indicating a linear relationship, similarly with algae. But in the case of some of the other variables, the relationship is non-linear and more complex, for instance, with water velocity and soft coral and sand and so on. So for future work, we hope to continue the multivariate analyses, but focusing more on the short transect data. And we'd also like to start investigating GAN models of the univariate relationships of fish family biomass with the environmental covariates.